Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who will never forsake the works of his own hands. Grace be unto thee and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the Prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Scripture this evening is found in Matthew chapter 6. I'll read the first 18 verses, and afterward we'll make confession with the Church of all ages. Matthew 6, the first 18 verses. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto my Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So far we read God's holy, inspired, infallible word. Let us now make confession with the Church of all ages, saying in our hearts: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe an holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Dear congregation, we come to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. And maybe in our country of prosperity, and considering the reality that most of us, when we return home, we could go to the cabinets and we could live for several days, if not perhaps even if necessary, several weeks with the food supply that we have. So, what do we do with this petition? Give us this day our daily bread. We don't have so much trouble in finding something to eat every day. In contrast, the people in Jesus' day would often go to the local market and to other people perhaps in their neighborhood every day, again and again, to find a little something, to purchase a little something that they would be able to eat for that day. Of course, in some countries in the world, that still remains true also today as well. What we find in this first, in this petition of the Lord's Prayer is that it's the first petition that leads us into the expression before God of many of the needs that are present to us personally. If we consider the first three petitions, they are all directed more or less unto God Himself. First, we have considered, hallowed be thy name. And second, the coming of the kingdom of God. And then thirdly, we have considered the will of God, how it is to be done. And now we enter into the other petitions that somewhat focus also upon our particular needs. And we will be praying and considering the daily bread as well as the need for daily forgiveness and the daily deliverance out of temptation. And so, the Lord, in teaching us this pattern in prayer, has rightly taught us to first have our eyes directed and lifted up to God, and to have right and solemn views of God, to enable us then every day to surrender ourselves anew at the feet of Him who sits on the throne, of whom we have prayed, our Father, which art in heaven. So tonight we want to look at, with God's help, that fourth petition from this chapter, verse 11 of Matthew 6. These words, give us this day our daily bread. Now I want to read also Lord's Day 50, question and answer 125 of our catechism. Which is the fourth petition? Answer, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even Thy gifts, can profit us without Thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures, and place it in Thee alone. Our theme is our daily bread. And we want to consider that from three perspectives. First, we want to consider the source. Who is the source? Who are we calling upon as the source of this daily sustenance, all of our daily needs? Secondly, what is the substance? What is this petition mean? What are we really asking when we pray for our daily bread? And then third, we want to look at the Savior. The Savior who is indeed the bread of life. Our daily bread, the source, the substance, and the Savior. Truly, congregation, this petition of our Lord in teaching us, asking for our daily bread, is a petition designed for our humility. It's designed really to get us to recognize our great need of God in our everyday life. Because by praying this petition, we are confessing that we daily are entrusting ourselves and our dependence upon God. So that even when we have a table of goods set before us and we sit down to pray, we are asking God for daily bread. We are acknowledging God, it is He who gives us these good things. We acknowledge that all that we have in daily life, whether it's the food we have on our tables or the shelter we have in our homes or even the cars we drive or the other things we have, it all comes from God, and we could say in particular from the Father. And isn't this also one of the first lessons a sinner is taught by the Spirit of Christ? He is first taught his sheer dependence upon God for salvation. He is taught his great need before the awesome and great God before whom he will have to stand. The Spirit teaches us that we are impoverished, we are bankrupt, we have nothing with which we can earn favor with God. And so it is in this petition as well. What we learn is that no matter what we have done with the labor of our hands, when we are unable to go to the store and buy something, it has nevertheless come out of His hand. He is the one who has given us strength and an ability to go about our daily tasks. And we come then to realize when we are taught of the Spirit of Christ that all we have done is destroy ourselves. And if it wasn't for a God in heaven who cares, who has compassion, we would be without hope. But if we have learned something of our utter need and dependence upon God, then we ought also to realize that the Scriptures are abundantly clear that it is a Father in heaven to whom we pray. It is not to some remote God who maybe hears what we say, but it is to the very God and Father of heaven itself and of earth to whom we pray. It is the same Father who has created all things. It is the same Father God who upholds all things. And so, children, we have considered the Father, what He has done in His creation in the Catechism. We have learned that it is the power of God the Father that has brought all things through the Word of the Son into existence. He but spoke the Word, and with His almighty power it was. And then, with that same Word, till this very day, this Father is upholding all these things He has created. He still is granting life. Every life that we see coming into this world of animals being born, trees and plants growing and flourishing, of human beings being born after, yes, still His image, though fallen, are all examples of how God is in heaven and He is the giver of life. All life comes forth from God, and He sustains that life until this very day. God is the one who is providing for all those creatures that we can't even see, that maybe when you look at National Geographic or something else and you see all these creatures that are in the sea, it is God who is providing for each one of them. It is God who is providing for all the insects. He is providing for all the birds of the air. He is giving to the beasts of prey what they need. He is the wonderful benefactor. He is the wonderful parent with a capital P. And we could say, in essence, that every living thing that is a creation of His hand, till this day, has His notice, has His attention. And so that a sparrow does not fall to the ground except it's His will. Every living thing is noticed by God. Every reptile, every insect receives their food from Him. He is the source of all things. And even when we don't realize it, it all has its origin from God. And think only of the clothes you're wearing tonight. It's all been a product in one way or another that of His care over His creation. You have a wool suit? There's some sheep that produced it. It has gained his food, the grass that he's eaten, from the light and the power of the sun that the Lord has upheld. And he's blessed all these means all the way to the point that his suit is manufactured and you put it on your body. Or cotton, the plants that have grown and been woven together to form a material. And even polyester, which seems to be synthetic or man-made, yet it is made from these oils and these petroleum products that are dug out of the ground, and man has, with his wisdom given to him of God, been able to bring out of even these products such things as clothes and polyester as well. Then when we think of even those things we use every day, the car, vehicles, and computers, they're all the result of his upholding power. The materials in every car and every computer has been given of Him. He's created it all. All the intricate parts and the wisdom given to man to be able to form them and mold them and shape them and to know how they work together. It's all part of God's upholding and His daily giving to us what we need. And so in this petition, we are asking for our daily bread. And we're asking it from God. We're requesting it. We're not demanding it. We're not thinking, we're the ones who set it on the table. Why should I pray for it? Why do I need to pray when I open my lunch at school? It's all been a gift that's been given of His hand. And it becomes ours when He gives it. And therefore we are to ask Him every time we sit at a meal, every time we acknowledge all the things that He gives us. Give us this day our daily bread. Think about a cook, children, for a moment. Maybe he's cooking for a king. He has all of the king's bounty at his disposal. And yet this cook, no doubt, should ask of the king whether he may eat of the dainties he has prepared for the king. So it is with us. When we go out into the world this week and we perform our work and our labors and we gather in all the income and the profits of all that the Lord gives us, it's not our doing. He's the king. It's all His. And we are nothing but stewards. And so when we sit at the table and we have this prepared meal, the bounty of the land, of the earth, we are asking, Lord, Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And that cook who is cooking for the king lacks nothing, but he is dependent upon the king for it. And so it is with us. If we sit down to a meal or we partake of all the blessings that God gives us in daily life and we go on our way as if God is not the author and beginner of all these things, we're worse than the animals. You can hear when there's a beautiful day, the sun is rising on a cold winter day and you've put out new seed in the bird feeder. What happens to the birds? They're singing. To who? To God. And when we sit down and we forget that all that we have is out of His hand, we are worse than the birds of the air. We must recognize that He, the Father in heaven, is the source of everything. And when we turn to Him in prayer, we are seeking His fatherly face for all the things that we need. Not desire. Need. And those who ask their daily bread of God get it with blessing. But if we imagine it has been all of our own strength and labor, and we sit down by right to our tables to eat our food, and we don't acknowledge God, we don't have His blessing. And so in this petition, we are acknowledging our dependence upon God. And we are acknowledging that we are not to take tomorrow for granted. Most of us haven't witnessed what some of the elderly among us have in time of war, eating constantly, perhaps turnips or other kinds of vegetables of the same sort day after day, when there's nothing that is to be put on the table. And yet the prayer is offered in Christian homes: give us this day our daily bread. And now, many times the Lord in His marvelous providence has provided something to eat in a very different way than anticipated. And He gives daily food. And we recognize that we are undeserving of all the blessings we receive, even of the natural things of life, all the blessings that come upon us. Jesus is setting before us, we ought to ask permission and direction in this petition: Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And when we have left over beside, it is a testimony that when we have asked for our daily bread and He has blessed us to such a degree we have leftovers beside, we are to give to those also who are in need. Give us this day. And this is where Jesus wants to lead us. He does not simply want to have us behold the fatherly hand of God as it relates to all of creation. Indeed, He is the Father of all things. But He wants us to know and to be assured of the reality that if we have God as our God in Jesus Christ, then He is our Father by adoption. Then we are His children, and we may come to Him with our daily needs and provisions and ask Him for daily bread. And that's the message Jesus proclaims as He's preaching. He says to the people that are gathered around Him, and this pertains to us as much today as it did to those in the day of Jesus. Though we don't have to perhaps worry about what we're going to have to put on our plates, yet with all of our abundance, we can become as anxious and overcaring as those in Jesus' day. And so Jesus says, don't be so concerned about what you're going to eat, with what you are going to be clothed with, because He says, don't you realize, your Father knows you have need of all these things. And if we come to this understanding and this confession and this petition, Father, give us this day our daily bread, then will we lack anything? And you know as well as me that this comfort that we could have in this petition can be very quickly taken away. It can evaporate, as it were, into thin air when suddenly, through a phone call or some devastating news when you visit the doctor or hearing of some relative who has cancer or who is dying, and suddenly in this life we can be pressed down with cares and our trust is shaken. Our confidence in God that He will provide what I need day by day is tested. And we begin to think about the circumstance, the trial, the difficulty. And we begin to sink down in despair and unbelief. And it's in times as these that we especially realize how little we are clinging to God as we ought. And it's especially in times like these that God can cause us to be stripped of all our dependence on comforts of creatures and rather to cling to Him and trust in Him alone. And so by this petition, Jesus is directing us, our faith and our hope in God the Father of heaven to supply our daily needs. And God can do this in marvelous ways. He is able, when we go about our daily tasks and in our labors faithfully, He can open one door here in a business opportunity or bless this particular thing we are doing. He can close this door, which we, if we had walked through, would have been a severe blow. And He guides us from one thing to another. Also, when we ask of Him, give us this day our daily bread. This is part of this petition. And this petition is pertaining to those as well who are pressed down, who are cast down with many cares in their life. They may find indeed that God will answer their prayers in ways they had not expected. God will answer by means they had not considered. And in His wonderful providence, someone may call with a word of encouragement, or they may get some kind of letter in the mail, which they didn't anticipate. And in such a way, we see God's almighty, providential, fatherly hand caring for His church, caring for His people. And so we daily come into the presence of our Father and we pray daily for daily provisions. We come before God daily to worship, to acknowledge, to confess that without Him we can do nothing, we won't even exist. But with His blessing, we will have enough for the day. And so for the believer, there is preciousness in this petition. And it is also bolstered up by other passages that we may take courage in our deepest difficulties. I think of the Old Testament teacher David, and he says in Psalm 37, "The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. And their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied." That's God's promise. He is true to His word. The Father has said already in the Old Testament, those who are righteous, those who seek righteousness, those who are covered with His righteousness will not be ashamed in the evil time and in the day of famine. They will be satisfied. And a little later we read in the same psalm, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with His hand." I have been old, and I have been young, David says, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David understands this petition. He understands that those who are in Christ Jesus have God as their Father, and God as Father is watching over every one of His children. And if there comes a point in time in one of His children's lives that there is lack of food to the point where they starve to death, it's in His purpose that He wants to bring them home. But that's not so with the righteous. Though they may hunger, yet they are realizing not their dependence upon God. Have you ever thought about it, why we as a nation are so prosperous? Is it because We're so diligent and we're so smart. I think not. If you look out over the whole nations of the earth and you see those nations that in principle have been brought up under the truths of the Word and who follow the principles of the Word and who have care for their neighbor and seek to alleviate the poverty of the poor with the Spirit of Christ, a Christian nation, these are the nations that prosper. It is these Christian principles of the nation that give the people to be inclined to give to the poor and to help to those who are in need. It's not the governments of those nations most of the time that provide this, but it is the citizens of the country. And we could say that as you move back in time as a nation ourselves, I think we would find that the people also have given freely to many different causes. And the root of it being the cause of Christianity being a part of this nation. And it's true for Israel, Old Testament people with the principles given by Moses, and Europe. But what do we find as we move more and more into a post-Christian society? We will find that things are going to change. Governments become more and more in control, and the ones who are called upon to give. And if we continue as a nation to turn our back upon God, we will see people begging again for bread. When I think of other countries in the world that are still pagan, I think of India, for example, continuing still today to live in darkness because the gospel and its light has not shined on them. You can go in the streets of their major cities and you will find 6 out of 10 people you meet with who are living in utter poverty. And it's not because the nation cannot support the number of people living there, as we are inclined to be told by many today. But it is because of the darkness of their hearts and of having no true religion. They have religion, Hinduism, and all of its branches. But what does Hinduism teach in all of its branches? Cows are sacred. The cows are eating 20% of the food supply of that nation because you cannot touch a cow. You cannot eat a cow. And in their blindness, in separation from God, the Father and Giver of all things, 6 out of 10 are in utter poverty. Besides that, 20% of the food supply of the nation goes to rats and to mice. Nothing is done. Why? Because of their religion. That could be one of your ancestors running across your living room floor. You may touch them. Reincarnation. Beside that, when you see a man suffering on the side of the road and hunger, you don't give him food because that will not be good. He must suffer these things because in his past life he must have been bad. And if you help him through this life of suffering, he will again need to come back in another life and suffer again. And you see how all of these things in their darkness and their separation from God causes them, like the wicked of whom David says, not to prosper. And so in our wisdom as a world today and the scientists of today, the problem is not overpopulation. The problem is there's no recognition of the reality that there is one God and Father over all who bountifully gives when we ask Him for daily bread. And that's what we find more and more in this world in which we live. Increasing fear of diseases. Increasing supposedly lack of food, global warming, nuclear explosions, pollution, overpopulation, fear of eating certain meats. And the list goes on. And we have forgotten the one who gives us all things. man in his foolishness and separation from God claims to have the answer. And the answer, Jesus said, is, Father, give us this day our daily bread. So what's the substance? What's Jesus' intent by teaching us to pray, give us this day our daily bread? Well, our catechism says to us that we are to ask of God to provide us with all things necessary for the body. And Luther says regarding this petition, it includes everything necessary for the preservation of life. Bread, food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, wife, children, good government, and peace. And Luther and also our fathers understood this petition of for our daily bread to be much broader than simply the meal we're sitting down to partake of. We're asking daily to God the Father to provide for us the things we need to exist in this life with a measure of comfort as well. When we're asking for daily bread, Jesus is saying you're not asking for a lifetime of bread. You're not asking for God to give you all the money and necessary things you need to live now for the next 80 years. Jesus says we are to ask for today. And then as you begin to flesh out what this petition means for us today, we realize that this includes a lot more things than bread. It includes the decisions those who own businesses in this week are going to have to make. It includes also the strength we need if we are laborers to perform our tasks so we don't get injured at work or we don't get sick. So we may be enabled to earn this daily bread that we need to provide for our children. It includes the element of giving us wisdom to teach our children also. And so many things, it is a confession that we are dependent upon God for everything, our health, our education, and all things. And what we are asking as well is that we might be used of God to be a blessing to others. That we might be of assistance to others. When we pray this petition, how so? Well, the petition is not, Father, give me my bread today. But the petition is, our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. It is a petition that is prayed in behalf of others as well. The whole family of God is to be had in mind. And having them in mind, when we see a brother or sister in need, we are called to minister to them of the abundance that God may have given us. When we have prayed, give us this day our daily bread, and He's bountifully supplied us. And now, with this bounty, more than we can eat, we are called to also give to others. We're called to receive what we give, what we are given with thanksgiving. Paul says to Timothy, God hath created all things to be received with thanksgiving of those that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. It is to be received with thanksgiving. And so the heart also of this petition focuses upon our heart, our contentment. It is to be a prayer of faith. It does not have its eyes fixed upon our barns and our accumulated wealth, which we've stored up, which will give us food to eat for years to come. But it is a continual reminder with contentment that what we have has been given of God, and we are to be content with what He has given. For the believer who is living by faith, his eye is called to be upon the eternal. Not like the rich man's was, I'm going to pull down my barns and build greater. Fool, the Lord said, tonight your soul is going to be required of you. Daily needs. Daily bread. The believer understands something of this truth, that he is called every day to live out of the hand and the gifts his Father gives him, but more than just for this life. He lives also out of Christ by faith. And if we have Christ, and though we be a prisoner, and though we be persecuted for righteousness' sake, even a cup of cold water and a crumb of bread and having Christ is an answer to this petition. And it is, we can be content than to have this whole world and the bounty of it without Christ. Then when we can pray in sincerity and truth, our Father, then we can say, give us this day our bread. The wicked cannot pray this prayer. The bread really, in that sense, doesn't belong to them. Yes, it belongs in a certain legal right. They're creatures of God, but they have no covenant right. They have it by His providence, but not according to His promise. They don't partake of the food they eat as a gift, as it truly is, of the hand of Christ. Wicked men are nothing more than usurpers in God's kingdom. It is something like they have begun to use what they went to the store to get, but they haven't yet paid for it. But for the believer, when he has prayed for his bread and he sits down to eat and he partakes of his meal, every bite ought to have the sweetness of Christ in it. Because everything is theirs. Because everything is Christ. And how much better then would a meal when we sit down to eat this bread as a reminder of the bread of angels' food that is to come in paradise. That gives contentment no matter what difficulties we can face in this world. Calvin said, only a child of God can truly enjoy the things of this world because he looks at all his possessions and says, these things have been purchased for me by the blood of Christ. They have been given to me because all things I receive in the world to come to me as a believer through Christ. That gives contentment. That gives peace and understanding that God our Father will give us what we need for today. It's true. Contentment doesn't take away the hunger pains if we don't have something to eat. But contentment means a condition of my heart and my soul that my eye is fixed on Him who knows my circumstance, who knows my need, and does not lay upon me something He says in His grace He will not give to carry me through. He says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body what you shall put on. For my Father knows you have need of these things. This petition is reflective. The substance of it is a heart that rests in God, that is content with all that God has given us. Psalm 25, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimony. And Paul says in Philippians 4, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That is to come to the place where we can say day after day after day, my Father, give us this day our daily bread. Because we are reminded time and again that it is given, even that crumb of bread and that cup of cold water, the hand of Christ. That's our third thought, the Savior. We need to see, yes, that this petition is primarily focused upon our temporal needs, our daily needs on earth. And yet I think we cannot exclude that this petition also is intimately connected to the spiritual as well. And while it's clear that Christ must be considering, as He's teaching this petition, He must be considering Israel's history and all that has transpired. God cared for His people, those whom He had called out and set apart day after day, even when they rebelled against Him. Yet, He cared for them. And what did He do in the wilderness, children? Every day from heaven, as they went out of their tents in the morning, there was what? Laying out on the ground, manna. And you remember on the first day that it happened, God had told them through Moses, now you only gather so much as you can eat. There were some who thought, we need more, we need more. They gathered it all in and they got it in their tents and we're going to hold it till the next day. And what happened? It's filled with worms. And every day again, give us this day our daily bread. And when Jesus is teaching the people about this bread which came down from heaven, He immediately moves into another direction and he says to the people, Moses gave your fathers this bread, but they all died. There is a bread, He said, which comes down from heaven from God. My Father gives you this bread, the true bread from heaven, which gives to you life. And then Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And how fitting it is when we look at this petition then to consider it in light of Christ, the heavenly bread. What happens to bread? It is begun with a seed of wheat or corn that's sown in the ground. It dies and multiplies and is harvested and is pressed and is crushed and is ground. When we think of Jesus, He came down from heaven. He was crushed. He was bruised. He died. And He now gives forth His fruit from the storehouse of heaven. And just as bread is indeed a staple food, a food which we need in a sense to live, so Christ is the bread that has come down from heaven, and we cannot live, friends, without Him. You and I do not have life abiding in us if we have not eaten of Christ. If we do not know Him and do not rest on His righteousness, if we have not come as poor sinners and clung to Him and trusted in Him, this bread of life does not reside in us. But if we have come to Him and if we have aid of Him, we daily need Him again and again. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, it's eating of this bread, Jesus says, that gives unto us eternal life. He that believes on Him is the one who eats His flesh, is the one who receives Christ unto eternal life. And then we begin to realize, not only do we need Jesus to save us, to make us whole, to give us new life, to make us a new creature. But we need Him day after day to strengthen us, to care for us, to carry us on through the Christian walk. We need not old manna to live upon, old experiences, old promises that we may have had from Him that we trusted in. But we need each day anew, fresh manna from heaven. And have you come, dear friend, to realize that all our sin has earned us is death and destruction? But that this petition shows to us there is bread that has come down from heaven, which if the greatest sinner would eat, he has life. This is the friend of publicans and sinners. This is the one who receives sinners and eats with them. Octavius Winslow put it this way: believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. What term could be more simple? What mode of bringing you into the full reception of salvation with its priceless, countless blessings of peace, joy, hope would be more appropriate? But even at this, perhaps you stumble, he says. The very simplicity of God's mode of bringing you into the experience of the costliest gift in His power to give, it is your hindrance to its possession. But let a wise and holy witness testify and say, sin gives you the first title to the friend of sinners. A simple, naked faith the second. Do not puzzle yourself about contrition, faithfulness, love, joy, power over sin, and a thousand such things which the white devil will persuade you that you must bring to Christ. He will receive you gladly with the greatest mountain of sin and the smallest grain of faith at Christ's feet will remove that mountain. At the peril of your soul, desire at present not peace, nor joy, nor puzzling yourself about even love. Only desire that most blessed man may be your bridegroom, that you may firmly believe that he is so because he has given you his flesh and blood on the cross. You have nothing to do with sin and self, although they will have much to do with you. Your business is with Jesus, with His free, unmerited love, with His glorious promises. Strongly expect nothing from your own heart but unbelief, hardness, backsliding. And when you find them there, be not shaken nor distressed. Rather rejoice that you are to live by faith on the faithful heart of Christ. And cast not your confidence away, which has a great recompense of reward. This is the living bread, he says, which has come down from heaven, which gives life, which sustains life. Do you pray this petition that you might partake of this living bread? There is everything your soul needs in this living bread. Take all your sins, he says, Octavius Winslow. Make an inventory of your need. Add up the sum total and sign it with bankruptcy and poverty and sinner in chief and hell deserving and take it to Jesus. And from His full, overflowing, free, abundant grace, He will meet your need, honor your draft, and dismiss you from His presence with your heart thrilling with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He says, be earnest and covet in your seeking the bread of life. Here, lay no restraint upon your desire. Put no limit to your request. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. You cannot approach with a basket too large, with a vessel too empty, with a frequency too often, nor with the request too needy. God has given you Christ. This divine loaf prepared by God in heaven has come down to earth, of which you are invited to partake freely, abundantly, daily, and live. All that Christ is, all that Christ has done, all that Christ is now doing is yours. Every pulse of His heart beats for you. Every drop of His blood shed for you. Every grain of His treasured grace for you. Every breath of His intercession in heaven is for you. All is yours if you are Christ's and Christ is God's. Day by day is the life of faith you are to live on Jesus. It is daily bread. Jesus for each and every day. Jesus for each day's needs. Jesus for each day's trial. Jesus for each day's sin. Jesus for life. Jesus for death. Jesus forever. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Almighty and glorious God, Thou who hast indeed given all that is needful for our life to be necessary to carry it on in this world, daily bread. But Thou hast also set before us the bread of life. And grant us then by faith, Lord, to partake of Him. Give us daily such as we need also of Him. For Lord, we could go without the daily bread of this life for some time. But we cannot, Lord, go without Thee. So wilt Thou grant also to Thy people and also to those who know not Thee to renew in earnest this petition for daily living bread from the hand of a Father who delights to give. And so bless us, we pray, in this week, and grant us all that we need for strength for the day, and gather us also again in due time the week to come. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.